worried. Can't you see she's got me worried? I don't wanna lose her love. I don't wanna lose her. The cross town is too slow. Hitchhiking is a no-no. She's all I'm thinking of. All I'm thinking of. Taxi. I've got some passion. Yes, I have now. Taxi. Like a fool, I broke her heart in two. Sure didn't mean to do it now. So stop for me to run it and get your wings and honey. I just wanna see her. Just wanna see her with a pen to the melt. Does it matter? I've got to sell. I just need her. And I know it grieves her.
From the back in the soul music era, and it might not be a song that everybody remember, but he was one of the greatest artists in the history of music. That song.
In 1492, you came up on the shore. 700 years educated by the Moors. 17th century genocide and the gun. Middle Passage blessed to market the Africans in the so-called land of God. My kind were treated hard. From back then until now, I see. And you agree We have been a misrepresented people from back then until now. Just see my family tree. We have been a misrepresented people. We have been a misrepresented people.
Okay, the late, the great, but not late, but the great Stevie Wonder. One of the soul music era's greatest artists. And one of music's greatest artists. And he definitely is a legend in his own time. He's Miss Shirley Brown. Give me the quick talk on a boyfriend. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Soul Town, this week we are looking at getting ready to celebrate an anniversary of a year being on the air. We definitely want to thank everybody for listening, and hopefully you've been able to get some kind of understanding or knowledge about the music industry. And we also want you to call us, you know, whenever you have any questions about the industry, about anything that's happening in within the music industry at this particular time. We feel that we are trying to bring the information to the public of what's going on in music, in the music business, because we feel that it is a part of the, well, it is a very important part of the American culture and of the culture of the world, because it brings everybody together. It unites everybody, and everybody just listen and look at the marvels of the universe. And we feel that music is one of the major wonders that was created for man to enjoy. And hopefully everyone is enjoying it. And whatever your genre of music that you enjoy to listen to, it's still music, and it is not divided any kind of way by any kind of race, creed, or color. It is only one music, and man and woman has the ability to determine if it is what they want to hear. If it's not, then they'll eventually change the channel to another kind of music that they are interested in. But we are into soul music because that was the era that we grew up in, the era of the Supremes, the Emotions, Michael Jackson, just to name a few, you know, Stevie Wonder, James Brown, Marvin Gaye, Isaac Hayes, Al Green. These were some of the people that were in the music industry, in the soul music industry, that eventually we're saying they started in the area which was the soul music era, but the music was loved and so much that culture of America and the world. It is a part of the pop culture, and it was the commercial part of it was obvious. Billions of dollars were made during this era. You know, whether or not it was divided correctly from the artists to the producers and the writers and the record company, but it was up to the record company to determine that distribution of funds. Say, we are looking at doing some serious investigation in music, looking at some of the music that was produced during this period of time, and some of the music that started in the soul music era and expanded through the pop culture and on with the ability to draw in anybody in the culture of America, of the world, as we say. And, you know, we know some of these people. We know they are, like you just played, the artists, Stevie Wonder, and last week we looked at Sam Cooke, and, you know, we got Earth, Wind, and Fire, and and all these people were a part of the pop culture and a part of the soul music era. There are certain parts of the United States that played some very important roles in this development. Some of them were Detroit, Philadelphia, Memphis, Los Angeles, Chicago. And, you know, these were probably the greatest areas, that, you know, that through New York in, but it's definitely should be in there. But these were some of the areas in the country that really brought this era to the forefront and pushed it into the heavily into the pop culture. As we, you know, look now, we look back and we see how the Beatles were completely in the pop culture all, you know, from the beginning. But we look at how the Supremes moved into the pop culture with a particular sound, and they were all at the same time. I heard some Supremes talk about how when they first became met the Beatles, they were all in the hotel together, and I guess, you know, that time marijuana wasn't legal at all, but it was I guess very popular. So they were someone having some marijuana. I don't know, I forgot exactly what happened on that deal, but the pop culture was very much a part of the soul music era, and the soul music era was very much a part of it. You had artists like Otis Redding, you know, who was, you know, at home wherever he was at. I mean, at Woodstock and, you know, somewhere in the Delta, Clarksdale, Mississippi. Speaking of Clarksdale, Mississippi, which is maybe an hour's drive from Memphis or less, is the home of some of the great music people in our era. We know the blues is a very, very deep-rooted situation in Clarksdale with Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and these guys who all were out of the Chicago Chess family, but started their lives in Clarksdale, Mississippi. And, you know, we can't forget about the great Sam Cooke, who in a lot of people's eyes was the greatest R&B soul singer ever. And, you know, it varies because time flies and time goes on. But I know Muhammad Ali felt that he was the greatest soul R&B singer that he'd ever seen, he ever heard. And which was saying a lot, you know, I mean, a lot of other people felt the same way at the time. I mean, Sam Cooke was very, very, very popular. And his talent was a gift that was he was blessed with from God. So that's something that, you know, is trumps everything. But we, like I said, last week we looked at him with his great hit, A Change Is Gonna Come. I mean, it was one of the major hits of the last decade, you know. And when you hear it a decade or two from now, it's going to still be a major, major hit. You know, even if the first time a person heard it, you know, it, I mean, it's just something that you really want to listen to. I mean, the voice that he had was a blessing, and we are privileged to be able to listen to it. But like I say, we're pushing the soul music era around because it was an era that it hadn't been too long ended. So it's something that people have a lot of time to write and talk about and to, you know, look at it from all angles. But historians will continue to write about it forever. We want everybody to go to Amazon.com and Excursion in Soul. It is available in paperback and can be downloaded onto any of your iPads or Kindles or whatever kind of device you might have. It can be downloaded. And as a matter of fact, Kindle has a program available now where you can go in and maybe even get it for nothing. But check it out, and it has a lot of information in it about the soul music era. And it's a true story, and it occurred in the Memphis area, basically starting there, but it's all over the country. I mean, the portions in Chicago and New York, Los Angeles, various Atlanta, traveling book. I mean, Dallas, Miami, it's very, there are things going on in the music business in this book all over the United States. So it's just something that everybody can look at and kind of relate to and see, you know, what some of the people that they were listening to on the radio was doing. I know that my probably favorite artist of all time, band of all time, I guess, would have to be Earth, Wind, and Fire. And a lot of people say, well, you know, they were pop, you know, they were, you know, but they were a part of the soul music era. As a matter of fact, they were more a part of it than really they seemed to be. I mean, because Maurice White is the founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire, the producer and, you know, the writer. And everybody know he's from, living in Chicago for a long period of time. But Maurice White grew up in Tennessee. He graduated from Booker T. Washington High School in Memphis, in South Memphis, where some of the people that, like the Barkays, were started basically from Booker T. Washington High School. The Stax Records is located not too far from the high school. One of the major writers at the record company was from Booker T. Washington High School. Not one of them, but several of them. Homer Banks, who was my partner in the record company and production and publishing companies, a graduate of Booker T. Washington High School. David Porter, who co-wrote some of the multi-million sellers with Isaac Hayes in the early part of the soul music era, who was might have been one of the people who really started that mantra as far as soul is concerned. He wrote songs like Soul Man, which was performed by Sam and Dave back in the early part of the soul music era. That was one of the greatest songs of that era, Soul Man, and movie about it and everything. I mean, this guy, but that was a very big part of the soul music era right there at Stax Records and Booker T. Washington High School. Now, some of the, you know, like I said, a lot of other high schools in the area that participated and had great musicians that was involved, like Isaac Hayes, who was David Porter's writing partner, but David Porter live over in the area right there by Stax, near the Stax Records area. And Isaac Hayes lived north of that in North Memphis, which, and he was a graduate of Manassas High School. Which is school, old grade school that might be the oldest school I know in this county for African American. But he was, Isaac Hayes was one of the great graduates of Manassas High School. And they wrote songs like Soul Man, and they formed the group called the Soul Children, and which we, one of the Soul Children is one of the major participants and one of the major characters in the book, An Excursion in Soul, because he, Jay Blackfoot, whose real name is John Colbert, but everybody called him Blackfoot, and Jay Blackfoot is one of the main characters in the book. His song, his song that he's singing, is definitely a part of what was going on at the end of the soul music era. And some of the things that occurred in that period of time is documented in the book. So please take a look at it and tell your friends about it. I mean, I'm sure there are all kind of people interested in what's going on at the end of the soul music era. So check it out and let us know what you think about it, because it was a great era and a lot of things occurred during that era. You had artists like Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, all these people in the soul music era. And you had some people to come into the soul music era that were at the end of the soul music era. Now, Shirley Brown came at the end of the soul music era, pretty much, not, it was at the end of Stax, when Stax, after their, you know, they were, this was at the end of their tenure. She had her major hit, Woman to Woman. And, you know, I remember seeing her on Soul Train and at that particular time, and for the ghetto soul train, you had to have a big selling record during that period of time, and people just don't look at it like that now, but, you know, you almost had to sell a million records, you know, I mean, you had to really have a major hit to get on Soul Train. And, you know, I mean, I remember seeing Johnny Taylor on Soul Train. I had met with him, with Homer Banks, my partner, and Homer had wrote several different big hits for Johnny Taylor that sold a million copies. His first million seller was Who's Making Love. And that was Johnny Taylor's first million seller. And so I had met with Johnny Taylor, with Homer, to let him hear some of the material that we had that we thought might fit his style of that he might be able to do, since he had been so successful with some of the songs that Homer Banks had written in the past. We wanted to play them, and he listened to it. And peculiarly, you know, I mean, he picked out Taxi, which we had a demo on. We had Chuck Brooks, who was Homer's writing partner, was also a entertainer and vocalist, whatever. So he sung the song. I mean, Johnny Taylor heard the song, and he said, "Okay, I want to do that song," you know. But J. Jay Blackfoot had been asked us not to let him hear his version with the whistle on the front, and because he felt that would make, I guess he felt, yeah, which would, probably would have been more enticing for him to do that particular song. And but we did, we didn't let him hear the version with the whistle on it. But he still picked it anyway and said he wanted to do it. And so at that time, Johnny Taylor was a major star. He had just had his last record before then was Disco Lady, and it had went double platinum. I sold over a couple of million records. And so we were kind of caught at odds wondering, you know, I mean, I know the, you know, on an artist like Johnny Taylor, you almost guaranteed a certain amount of royalties just by the artists being who they are. And so we just, you know, we said, okay, but he never did really make up his mind when he wanted to do it or when his next album was coming out or whatever. So Blackfoot, Jay Blackfoot, formerly with the Soul Children, formerly a comrade of Johnny Taylor at Stax. They were there together. Blackfoot's The Soul Children, some of the biggest hits that they had in the soul music era early was The Sweeter He Is, along with The Pain. That was a big record for them. I know it went to number one on the R&B Billboard chart, and they sold out places all over the country. The Apollo in New York and the Fox in Detroit. I mean, they were big stars at that particular time. So, you know, we said, well, okay, I know Johnny Taylor wanted to do it, and we decided to see when, but the thing was, you couldn't actually wait on someone, especially when we started our record company. The first album that we released was on Jay Blackfoot. So we had to put the song on there, and it ended up being the biggest hit on the album. So good that we did that. You know, that was the situation right there. And then we came right back, and we were contacted by one of the executives at Arista to do a song on Aretha Franklin's album in conjunction with Luther Vandross, which we really wanted to do. When we wrote this song, the song was written for Shirley Brown. And first one on here is a little with Shirley Brown singing "Used to Be Your House, Now It's Another Man's Home," but then "Leave the Bridges Standing," which was for the Queen of Soul.
Thank you.
She came in during the end of the Stax era when that was one of the last million sellers, gold records, platinum records, whatever, to come out of Stax. And that was Miss Shirley Brown doing a rendition of Leave the Bridges Standing, written by Homer Banks and Chuck Brooks, which, you know, was written originally for, with the Queen of Soul in mind, and you can kind of hear it in the vocal delivery by Miss Brown, Shirley Brown, because they are in the same category as far as their vocal sound. So that was Shirley Brown off her hit album Intimate Storm, which produced 4 R&B top 100 singles, and that was one of them. And we're gonna run a little bit more of the late Jay Blackfoot's great album City Slicker. And this was the first song on the album, and a lot of people recognized it, and this helped him a great deal as far as sales were concerned. They really did a great job as far as getting it charted. And they really did a great job towards working, helping to get that situation taken care of. It was, like I said, the first song on the album, and it had that old Stax feel to it with that Jay Blackfoot jam in it. And Homer was a great writer for them, you know. So here he is with Jay Blackfoot, The Way of the City. And
do not resist the sound on your stereo. There is nothing wrong with your set. For the next 34 minutes, I will control what you hear and feel. You're about to be taken on a musical safari through the most ferocious jungle known to man. A jungle where the hunter is often captured by the game. This is a city, and you are there.
That's the the way that the album began with Jay Blackfoot, The Way of the City, and the second song was Taxi.
What time is it? Man, I gotta hurry up and get there. Huh, I don't see no cabs nowhere. Wait, yeah, that one over there. Yeah, taxi. Take me to the other side of time. Just as fast as you can.
All right, that was the second song off of the City Slick album, which turned out to be a great album. And the show is getting kind of close to the end, but we want to invite everybody back next week to listen to some of the soul music and talk about some of the soul music with Soul Town, and call in when you get a chance and give us any kind of ideas or questions that you might have. Call 347-838-9142. That's for Richie. That's me. Okay. As always, we wish you love, peace, and soul. We're going to leave you with Miss Shirley Brown.
Perfect.